Well, I deeply appreciate all our volunteers at Parkway and all those who serve doing so many different things. I do want to take a moment just to acknowledge Bill Micolate and I believe Kiana and family and Rosie, who decorated the trees in the gym and the lobby, and Bill, who decorated our sanctuary along with the Mowers family to make our sanctuary look so wonderful for Christmas. So a special thank you to those who came. And prepared our sanctuary prior to the first Sunday of Advent. A special thank you for all your work. Well, we are in the midst of the Advent season, and we are continuing a series called Christmas and the Human Struggle. So let's join together and ask the Holy Spirit to encourage our hearts today and to speak into our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all those who serve you so faithfully, often serving behind the scenes, enabling ministries to continue here at Parkway and ministries to be fruitful, enabling things to run. Father, thank you for all those who serve. We thank you for the privilege we have of serving you because you are worthy of our praise and worthy of our honor. As we continue our series on Christmas and the human struggle, Father, we want to be mindful that even the great men and women of faith in Scripture dealt with fears and struggles of various kinds. We certainly are not alone. If we find life difficult, if we find it hard sometimes to comprehend you and your ways. So may you use this series in our lives to encourage our hearts, to remind us, Father, that throughout the struggles and the peaks and valleys of life, you remain faithful. You are the one constant hope we can be assured of. So use this message in each of our hearts. Open up our hearts to hear from you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. A few years ago, a British medical doctor wrote a touching story about an 82-year-old medical patient named Doris. Doris had been in the hospital for some tests, but doctors could find absolutely nothing wrong with her. 2 days before Christmas, Doris seemed completely healthy and ready to be discharged from the hospital. But for some reason, she kept complaining to her doctor about unexplainable health issues. So her doctor took some more x-rays and more tests, but everything came back normal. Her doctor told Doris that he had no choice but to discharge her from the hospital and send her home. Doris looked down on the floor and quietly said, "But I don't want to go home. It's just that I'm all alone and there are so many hours in the day." And then after a long pause, Doris took a deep breath and said, "Doctor, can you give me a cure for loneliness?" Although we celebrate Christmas as a time of joy, peace, and family unity, for many people, Christmas can be a time of sorrow, loneliness, and family strife. Last week, we began a series of messages for the Advent season called Christmas and the Human Struggle. As I mentioned last Sunday, those of us who are seeking to live a life of faith are not immune from disappointment, loss, fear, doubt, and loneliness. The great men and women of faith that we read about in Scripture also experienced these things. They experienced discouragement. They experienced fear and other challenges. During this Advent season, we're exploring the lives of several people who feature prominently in the Christmas story to see how God met them in the midst of their struggles. As human beings, we like things to be controllable and predictable. Now, how many of you like things to be predictable and controllable? Now, the rest of you are not being honest. Come on. I like things to be predictable. I like my routines. When we look at Scripture, we find a God who does unexpected and unpredictable things. He often acts in ways that defy our human imagination and in ways that seem contrary to human logic. And this is especially true when we consider the details surrounding the birth of Christ. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and the Advent season is a time for us to reflect on the meaning and the significance of Jesus' birth. It's a time for us to engage in spiritual reflection as we affirm our belief that Jesus has come as Savior, and one day he will return as King and Judge of all the earth. Last week, we looked at the Christmas story from the perspective of an elderly couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. From their experience, we learn that God is able to step into our lives and bring good out of our disappointments. And even when God seems silent, this does not mean that our prayers go unheard. Even when his hand is hard to see, even when we are facing the storms and uncertainties of life, God is at work fulfilling the plans and purposes that he has for you and for me. Today we're going to look at the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary. Of course, Mary is perhaps the most well-known person in the entire Christmas narrative. What does Mary's example teach us about walking by faith? Let's look together at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Luke tells us, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Much like the world we live in today, the ancient world was a dark place. When Jesus was born, the world at that time was filled with poverty, injustice, and violence. In this familiar passage, Luke describes how Mary received a visit from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel delivered the news that Mary would be with child, and this child would be the Savior of the world. Now, being a poor, obscure peasant girl, this news must have been incredibly hard for Mary to process. From a human perspective, none of this would have made any sense. From Mary's example, I believe we learn four things about what it means to walk by faith, even when we don't understand what God is doing. First, to walk by faith, we need to give our fears over to God. Scripture is crystal clear about the importance of faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The greatest purpose in life is to learn to love, trust, and obey the God who created each one of us. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to deliver this news, Mary must have struggled to believe that she had been chosen by God to bear the Savior of the world. Verse 29 tells us that Mary was greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled not only by the angel's presence, she was also troubled by the angel's words. The angel had to reassure her that there was nothing to be afraid of. And I believe the angel's words apply to us as much as they applied to Mary, because fear is something we all struggle with. Fear is a prominent theme in the Christmas story. In the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that Joseph feared for his reputation after learning that Mary was expecting a child. At the time of Christ's birth, the Jews were experiencing the fear that comes with being a people under Roman occupation. Fear is a dominant theme in the Christmas story, and it is also a dominant theme in each of our lives. Maybe you are struggling today with fears of various kinds. Maybe those fears are related to your health. Maybe those fears are related to aging. Perhaps you're dealing with financial fears, or you fear what the future will hold for you. Whatever it might be, we all experience fear, and these fears tend to grip our hearts. Even a man of great faith like the Apostle Paul struggled with fear. Paul said he spoke about battling the fears within himself. Fear is an enemy of faith because it prevents us from trusting God. It distorts our perspective about life, and it distorts our perception about God and who He is. Fear makes our problems seem bigger and makes our God seem smaller. So I want to encourage you today to see that Jesus is the answer to your greatest fears. Do you fear death? Jesus has conquered death. Do you fear for the future? Jesus holds the future in His hands. Do you fear financial pressure? God says that He will meet your needs. Do you fear being alone? Jesus says, I will never leave you. And there is absolutely nothing in all creation that will ever, ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. We need to learn to bring our needs and our fears to God and leave those things in His hands where they belong. What is your deepest fear? Be encouraged that Jesus knows the things that keep you up at night, and He is far greater than our worst fears and far greater than our biggest worries. Well, I think we all know that it's important to make a good first impression during a job interview. Recently, a teenager in Redmond, Oregon, went for a job interview at a local Subway restaurant. For all the wrong reasons, he made an unforgettable impression on the store manager. The teenager's mother drove him to the interview, and she parked her car in the parking lot right outside the restaurant. And she decided to wait there for her son while he was inside being interviewed by the store manager. She then fell asleep and somehow managed to press her foot on the gas pedal, which sent the car crashing through the restaurant. The crash happened just a couple of feet from where the interview was taking place. Thankfully, there were no injuries apart from the teen's job prospects. As I said last week, we can try and control life down to the smallest detail, but life will send us something unexpected. I can only imagine this teen's face as his mother crashed through the restaurant windows. You know, we might face something totally unexpected. It could be an unexpected diagnosis, an unexpected loss. It might be plans that we have for our life, and those plans never come to pass. And during those moments when life isn't going the way we planned and life isn't going the way we expected, it's easy for us to give in to doubt, to give in to discouragement. We may wonder, does God really care? Does God even hear me when I pray? And this leads us to a second point, to walk by faith. Trust that God will always do what He has promised to do. Often when we're facing uncertainty or difficulties, our reaction is emotional. We get anxious and we start to worry. Our feelings and our emotions overcome our thoughts, and then they dictate our actions. And I don't think Mary was any different. In verse 34, she expressed her confusion about the message she had just received from the angel Gabriel. She couldn't understand how she could possibly conceive a child given that she was a virgin. And in verse 37, the angel told her, "No word from God will ever fail." In other words, nothing is impossible with God, and his word will never fail. He will always do what he said he will do. From the virgin birth to the incarnation of God in human flesh, the Christmas story is all about God doing what is humanly impossible. The events surrounding Jesus' birth challenge us to expand our faith and to believe that we worship a God who can do great and unexpected things. The unfortunate thing is that we tend to put limits on God by not believing that he can do great things in our lives. So whatever you're facing in your life right now, whatever it is, I want to ask you, do you believe that God can step into your life and he can answer your prayers in great and unexpected ways? Now, we all have preconceived notions about certain people and certain things. And even when it comes to Scripture, we have assumptions or ideas about what the Bible says. Theologians refer to this as a cultural bias. In other words, we come to Scripture with our cultural biases, and we interpret Scripture according to that lens. In our case, we interpret Scripture through a Western, North American perspective. And this might cause us to see things in Scripture that are not even there. And I want to give you a little example from the Christmas narrative. In our Western culture, our individualism leads us to assume that when Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, they traveled alone. In reality, Mary and Joseph likely traveled to Bethlehem with a large entourage of extended family. But there was no need for the gospel writers to include this, as it would have already been understood by the people in that culture. And the point I'm making is that we all have assumptions and we all have preconceptions that affect how we read the Bible and how we understand God. To interpret Scripture accurately, we need to be careful that we don't bring to Scripture our preconceived ideas that distort what the Bible actually says. And this leads me to a third point from our Scripture passage. To walk by faith, we must let God be God even when we don't understand his ways. We must let God be God. In verse 36, the angel reminded Mary about her relative Elizabeth. According to Luke chapter 1, we read this last week, Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had no children, and because of their advanced age, conception was humanly impossible. So from a human perspective, Elizabeth was too old to conceive. But God had other plans, and he blessed Elizabeth and Zechariah with a child who would become John the Baptist. This reminds us that in order to walk by faith, we must be careful not to limit God's power according to human logic. Even when we don't understand his ways, we must remember that he is God and we are not. Now, God will never do anything that contradicts his nature. He will always act in ways that are consistent with his love, his faithfulness, his holiness, his goodness, his mercy, and so on. But this does not limit God's freedom to deal with us in ways that defy human reason. In John chapter 9, the disciples saw a man who had been born blind. About these days was to beg. So this man was suffering. The disciples saw him and they asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Like most Jews in that day, the disciples assumed that this man's suffering was punishment for his sin or punishment because of his parents' sin. To their way of thinking, the man was born blind because God was punishing him or his parents. From a human perspective, this seemed to be perfectly logical. But Jesus corrected their faulty assumptions. God doesn't work at a human level. He works at a supernatural level. He does not always do things that make sense to us or things that make us feel comfortable. To grow in our faith, we must allow God to stretch us out of our comfort zone. Today, one of the things that you and I take for granted when we get behind the wheel of a car are windshield wipers. Now, perhaps you thought that windshield wipers were invented along with the car, but that's not the case. In the first couple of decades of the automobile, when bad weather struck, the driver had to roll down the window and stick his or her head out of the side of the car so that they could see the road and see oncoming traffic. The driver would sometimes use their hand to clear the windshield, but this wasn't very effective. Early in the 20th century, a woman named Mary Anderson was inspired to create a solution to this problem, a problem that would only get worse as more cars came on the roads. Mary worked with a designer to create the first windshield wiper for which she obtained a patent. It would take almost 20 more years for wipers to become standard on new automobiles. Now, when Mary Anderson invented the windshield wiper, she came up with a solution that is sometimes called a solution to an invisible problem. An invisible problem is something that we so get used to that we no longer see it as a problem. And because we're so used to it, we don't think of ways that it can ever be solved or be made better. You see, it's easy to develop tunnel vision and to develop a closed mind. Here's a fourth point. To walk by faith, we must believe that God will give us enough light to lead us step by step, even when the way is unclear. In verse 38, Mary expresses her faith in what the angel told her. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary expressed faith, even though she could not see what lay in front of her. In her mind, there was no category for a virgin birth because this, again, makes no sense from a human perspective. God is not bound by human wisdom, nor is he bound by human expectations. From beginning to end, the Christmas story is a story of miracles. It's a story of God doing the unexpected. And what does this mean for us today in terms of living a life of faith? I want to leave you with one thing to reflect on as we seek to apply today's scripture passage to our lives. The point I want to leave you with you today is that we need to pursue a bold faith that does not put God in a box. As I've repeated a couple of times, we prefer life to be predictable, neat, and tidy. We like to be in control of our circumstances as much as possible. Consequently, we tend to put God in a nice little neat box. We cannot conceive of a God who defies human logic or who acts in ways that are totally unexpected. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine or ask. The Christmas story reminds us that faith is all about trusting and submitting our lives to a God who is far greater than you and I can ever, ever understand. His presence fills the universe. He is more powerful than we know. He is wiser than the most intelligent men and women. His love is beyond human understanding. His grace is beyond measure. He is perfectly pure and holy, and his ways are far beyond ours. He has no beginning and no end. He created all things, and all things continue to exist by his divine power. He has no equal. No one gives him advice. He is perfect in all his ways. He is good, and he is faithful in everything he does. Like Mary, faith means leaving our questions and leaving our fears in God's hands, trusting that he works all things for his glory and all things for our ultimate good. Let us pray. Father God, as we've looked at Mary today, there is so much more we could say about her life and What certainly would have been very, very hard news for her to understand or even to process. Father, you are beyond our understanding. Isaiah told us in Isaiah chapter 55 that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And yet, Father, you call us to trust you, and you have revealed yourself to be a God who is faithful to do all that he has promised to do. A God who is merciful and gracious, who is perfect in all his ways. And Father, although we may not understand your purposes and your plans, although we may not be able to see what lay ahead of us, I pray that you will help us to trust you, with whatever fears we might be experiencing at this moment, to trust you with whatever struggles or disappointments that are bothering us at this specific point in time. Father, remind us today that although you are incomprehensibly great and beyond our understanding, we can trust you because you are good, you are loving toward all you have made, and you are faithful, to do all that you have promised to do. Remind us, encourage us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.